everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. It's the midweek edition of Buckmaster, Wednesday, August 18th, 2021. And it looks like, Tom Fairbanks, the first real break in the monsoon, the summer thunderstorm season, since the first week of July.
It does indeed. But the folks up in Flagstaff, no, they're getting it real good these last couple of days.
Well, we still have time before the end of September to break the all-time record. I think we're the third wettest monsoon on record.
We're in the top five.
Yeah, certainly the top five. Rained again at our place again last night, which pushes us to like 17 inches of rain in the foothill region. We're in our 11th year already here on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station is 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Well, at long last, an historic theater in Tucson is set to be restored. It's Teatro Carmen, which opened its doors on May 20th, 1915, at 380 South Meyer in Viejo Barrio. The 106-year-old building has been home to many things, including an Elks Club. Their clubhouse was there for, I think, about 50 years. Herb Stratford joins me now in studio, and Herb gets credit for the rehab of the Fox Theater. Over 20 years ago that rehab began, and now he is focused on Teatro Carmen. Herb Stratford and his nonprofit Stratford Artworks Incorporated plan to turn the space into a performing arts venue, along with his historic theater consulting, really all over the country, and his restoration work. Herb Stratford is senior programmer for the Napa Valley Film Festival in California. He's the director of FilmFest 2021, FilmFest Tucson, and there will be an exciting announcement coming up in a few moments from Herb about that. Also, a documentary film director, he's a busy guy, film director on his documentary, the latest effort is a feature-length film spotlighting American arts and crafts furniture director Gustav Stickley, who at the height of his fame in the early 1900s operated the Craftsman Building, a 12-story retail and office space in New York City. Herb, it is great to see you again.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here, Bill.
Should we do the Film Fest announcement first?
Sure. Yeah. You know, this has been such a difficult year for film fests. I mean, I can tell you as a programmer and as a film critic, I've attended a bunch of the majors like Sundance and South by Southwest and Tribeca virtually because of COVID. And so we've made the decision, Film Fest Tucson, this will be our fifth year. We've decided to go virtual with the film festival. And so I'm putting the finishing touches on that program. So that normally takes place downtown in October. We usually have about seven screens. We're at the Scottish Rite and outside on the lawn of the Children's Museum and sometimes the AC Hotel and the Fox and different places. So we will be virtual this year, October 13th to the 17th. And so that's sort of exciting that we've just sort of decided to be public on that today. So, yes, this is sort of the public debut of that announcement that we will be going live with pass sales pretty soon and a pretty good schedule of films. We're excited that, you know, while we're going to miss seeing people in person, it's just really the right thing to do. And we're actually doing that up in Napa as well. So I see about 900 films for the Napa Film Festival that I look at. And so that festival is going to be streaming November 10th to the 14th. So lots of opportunity to see great films from all over the world.
Do you ever do old films?
Oh, yeah. Well, and specifically here in Tucson, we normally do a silent movie that was filmed in Tucson that we have like a restored thing. We're not doing that this year for Tucson because it's really an in-person thing. You know, we did The Mind with the Iron Door with a live quartet a couple of years ago. So we've done some really exciting, you know, kind of period Tucson films. But that's really more of an in-person thing, you know, where we can have the opportunity to interact with and do a panel discussion and talk about the process. So that'll happen happen again in 22 for sure.
Wall Street Journal on Sunday, speaking of films, actually it's their Saturday, their weekend edition, which I like very much, talked about the film Notorious. They say it's one of the best films ever made, Hitchcock's Notorious. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know,
I'm going to take another look at it. It's been a while.
I think it's been a while for me too. Yeah. It's funny when you have these lists like the National Register and things like that, where they're like the best 100 films ever. You know, what genre and from what lens and, you know.
If you Google the best 100 films, you will get 10 different lists.
You will. And things will pop up and they'll just rearrange, right? Like, to me, the Godfather films are some of the best films ever. Some people love Citizen Kane. So it is subjective, but you're right. You know, it's interesting to see these films and to kind of revisit them over a period of time and then to see how they've changed and how your perception of them has changed. So I definitely encourage people to continue to discover things that are not new.
Unfortunately, I spent a few hours Saturday looking at the Sicilian Michael Cimino's movie. Revisited that. It had been a long time. Talk about a bunch of miscast actors. And I like some of the work Michael Cimino has done.
Oh, sure.
The director Michael Cimino, the late Michael Cimino. Anyway, let's switch from film to The Carmen. When did you first think, well, maybe this is a project that's doable?
Well, it's interesting. I had actually visited the Carmen in the early 90s when I was working for the Tucson Arts District Partnership downtown, and it was right before the Rawlings family had bought the building, and I sadly didn't have a camera with me, so I didn't ever take any pictures then, but I remember it being very bare and rough, and I thought, wow, this is a great building, I'd love to do this, and that was before I took on the Fox. So it was always sort of in the back of my mind, you know, the Carmen, you drive by it and you're like, ah, the Carmen, and then it would appear in a movie or something, The Outside. And so back in about October of 2019, we were kind of finishing the plans for Film Fest Tucson of 19. We had Peter Bogdanovich in town, and Damian Klinko, who is a dear friend and preservation advocate and actually serves on the board of Stratford Artworks, he called up and he said, I have your next project. And I said,
really?
No, I don't need any more projects. Thank you. I'm finishing
my
the film festival.
Is and full. What the heck do you
my
have
cup
for
runneth
me, Damian?
Over. And yeah. and I said, I really don't need anything right now. And he said, Teatro Carmen. Mm-hmm. And I said, those are the two words that you could say to me that I would say, okay, I'll take a meeting. And so I went down and I met with Don Rawlings, and whose family has owned the building since probably, I think, 94. And, you know, walked back through the building, and it just sort of came back to me. And I thought, you know, as you mentioned, I have a historic theater consulting business, so I work around the country. I think I've worked in about 18 different states now. And I never thought I'd have a chance to do another theater in Tucson where I live. And so the idea that would come up, you know, I kind of went back and I started scratching my head, and I said, okay, you know, Don, I'm interested, but you have to give me a runway, because I need to get through the film festival. I need to do my due diligence. I need to figure out, you know, does the niche work? You know what I mean? In terms of how many seats, how much is it going to cost? How long is it going to take? And the Rawlings family was very patient with me. And so then COVID really hit us hard. And so we closed on the deal in June of this year. So it took us a long time, but I went through and I did environmental studies. I did architectural studies. I did structural studies. I made some, you know, business plans. You know, we really researched the plan and felt confident enough to pull the trigger on this.
Does it have good bones?
It does. And, you know, it's interesting. They're very different bones, because the bones at the Fox, you know, which was built in 1929, were steel bones. And some of the bones at the Carmen are, they're adobe bones. So it's a very different,
whoa,
you know, and it's not all adobe. It's not, you know, like the Marist College, but, you know, it is a very different building. It was built, you know, without probably blueprints. It was built probably without a building code. You know, we are doing things, you know, there's a lot of work to do. But it's also, honestly, it's a third the size of the Fox, and it's going to cost a third the size of the Fox cost. Mm-hmm. So I feel comfortable that it's going to be a quicker and easier lift. And also, as you sort of alluded to, the cultural heritage of this space is really unique. And it may be, the building may be the second oldest theater in the state, but also it's got a unique African-American and a Hispanic history. So that really opens up some doors, you know, for us to find funding and also an onus to make sure we do do programming that's appropriate for everything. But it's a project that is really unique. And the fact that Barrio Viejo is about to be named a National Historic Landmark District, and this is a key building in the neighborhood, is really important to preserve.
It's an intimate space with about 300 seats.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. It's very hard to find. We've yet to find an interior photograph. And when we did the Fox, you know, I found dozens. Because this was in the barrio, there was a lot less press coverage. We found some coverage in some of the smaller Spanish language papers like El Mosquito, but not in the Star, not in the Citizen Archives. So it's very little archival history that we can rely on. But, you know, our vision for the property is not to have fixed seats. So we'll have the ability to do, you know, both, you know, seated events, you know, auditorium style events, you know, whatever you need to do, we will reconfigure the seating, which will make it much more flexible. But yeah, about 250 to 300 seats. And so it's really a niche. In the industry, you like to have, you know, a couple hundred gap in terms of what your venues are, so they're not overlapping. And with the cabaret space at the Temple of Music and Art being just under 100, the only other space that's really 300 is the Stevie Eller Theater on the U of A campus, the dance facility. And then also, I believe, the space at the Arizona State School for the Deaf and Blind is also about that size. But, you know, those are pretty single focus in where they are. So our 300-seat capacity is really a nice size. It's half the size of the Leo Rich. It's a really good size for things. And I think that's gonna feed into what we do. And it's going to be theater, music, film, dance. It's going to be everything.
Yeah, it's good. There's a lot of possibilities there. All right, we'll have more with Herb Stratford. But right now, Herb, I want to talk about my favorite place that I go when I want some beautiful color in my garden, and that's Green Things. What a great space. 13 acres, conveniently located 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. And Green Things is always green, of course, because they've got some beautiful plants. But now it's especially green, and you will find whatever you need for the fall planting, and this is a perfect time, especially right now with a little bit of a lull in our summer thunderstorms. So check it out. Not only do they have all the plants you need, but they have some beautiful furniture at Zocalo Village, 5 shops there with merchandise, much of it handcrafted. There's actually some beautiful dining room table sets that are handcrafted in Mesquite from right here in Tucson. So they've got some great work there from Mexico, Latin America, right here in Tucson, and Europe. The website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Be right back with Herb Stratford.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Having some fun with Herb Stratford and his nonprofit Stratford Artworks and their latest project, Teatro Carmen, in downtown, 380 South Meyer, Barrio Viejo. It's a great neighborhood for a restoration of a theater like this, Herb. And are you hearing from people who've got some old memories of the theater?
We are looking, and thanks for bringing that up, because, you know, there's not a lot of official written record that we're able to find, but we have sort of started the outreach once we became public that we had purchased the building and saying, you know, we'd love your stories, we'd love your photographs, we'd love any of that stuff, because we did that at the Fox and we got some really great stuff. So I'm hoping that there are things out there that people will remember. And the fact that the African-American Elks had their social club there for, you know, from like 37 to 86 or something. You know, there's probably stuff. There's probably photographs. There's probably things from those events. So I think they're going to turn up, which would
because
really help.
Because that kind
us.
Of stuff is always great for the lobby.
It is. And I think the building has such a great history that it'd be nice to celebrate that and yeah. I think to show it off. And so, you know, we'd made a short documentary about the Fox's restoration where we talked to folks who remember growing up there. And I'd like to do that again with the Carmen. And it's nice to show that occasionally. So
what goes into a project like this? What's the first step? Stabilizing the building, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing, you know, and this happened with the Fox, too, is, you know, you got to make sure the roof doesn't leak and you got to make sure the building's not going to fall in on you. And then you start the planning and you really have to, you know, identify, you know, what the cost is going to be. And then you have to back into like, you know, can we, with this number of seats, you know, can we, what can we charge, you know, rent and can we, how many shows can we do? And, you know, can we pay the bills? Cause you don't want to create a black hole of an operating, entity. And I think, you know, the nice thing, you just sort of mentioned the neighborhood. I mean, the Doubletree was just bought, or just built across the street. The Coronet is in the old, Cushing Street Bar and Grill. And,
right.
and Sally, it does a great job there. And you know, the Kemmerly Company is putting some condos in down the street. I hear one of the old Chinese markets is going to reopen. You know, so it really is sort of a booming time there. And I think as long as we don't suffer any gentrification, that's a good thing. I mean, I know there's still some sore feelings about Diane Keaton and what she did down the street, but I mean, this is Lalo Guerrero's old neighborhood. I mean, Dan Guerrero, who's a good friend, I mean, he's thrilled to be involved with our project, and, you know, his dad was born down the street.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
What a talent he was, Lalo.
Oh, yeah.
So what timetable are you looking at? How long does it take to kind of get this thing ready for performance?
You know, really, it's probably a 2 to 3 year process. I think that the actual construction is probably only 9 months, and everything else is, you know, planning and fundraising. So at this point, we're still identifying honing in on the final cost. I mean, it is going to be several million dollars. This is not, you know, a cheap project, but it is accomplishable. And I think there's resources we've identified. We've already had some success in grant writing, but it is a couple year project. And so, I mean, I'm thinking that it's it's, you know, I always hesitate because, you know, as soon as you say a date or an amount, you know you're going to blow past it.
Oh, yeah.
And then people are going to say, you said. But I think, you know, the nice thing is that I would not want to be in the shoes of some of our performing arts venues right now and trying to struggle with staying open and you know, being a going concern. The fact that we're not open right now is maybe a good thing, and it gives mm-hmm. us time to do what we need to do.
You and I share a common background. We both grew up on the North Shore of Chicago. Going into the city, I'm sure as a kid, you saw the wonderful architecture in our hometown in Chicagoland. Was that an inspiration for you?
You know, I think it really was. And, you know, growing up, as you say, you know, growing up around, you know, the work of Louis Sullivan, like the Carson Perry Scott Building. I mean, you know, just to see these things, they really, Chicago to me was always such an architectural, you know, just landmark. And I think, you know, growing up in the suburbs, you would get on the train and, you know, 30 minutes later, you're in the city. And that's remarkable. And it was safe, right? Mm-hmm, you know, it wasn't a scary thing. So, you know, I remember going to birthday parties, at the Chicago Athletic Club because my friend's dad was a member, you know, mm-hmm. being a young, you know, mm-hmm. in my teens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that was an inspiration. And I think, you know, as a filmmaker, you know, as you mentioned, I did a documentary on Gustav Stickley, and one of my other plans is to sort of try and, you know, shine a bigger light on Louis Sullivan, you know, mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there has been some things, but, you know, it's really sort of some of the iconic figures like Frank Lloyd Wright, they've sort of sucked all the oxygen out of the room.
Right.
And there's people like Stickley and Sullivan. You know, Sullivan was, you know, I mean, he was an icon, and he actually trained Frank Lloyd Wright. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the idea that, you know, the master, who's the master of the master, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, so...
Yeah, and you know, it's not just the downtown Chicago, but along Sheraton Road in Wilmette, Kenilworth, Winnetka area where we grew up, some of those homes, right on the lake, I mean, just absolutely beautiful from the turn of the century and sometimes even before. And I'm even thinking about, by the Wilmette Beach, the Michigan Shores Club, which has this incredible Art Deco feel to it. There's some great space on the North Shore.
There are. And, you know, I remember as a kid riding my bike everywhere, because that's what you did in the 70s. And I remember riding past Frank Lloyd Wright houses in Wilmette.
Yes.
And, you know, and Glencoe. And, I
yeah.
mean, there was a route that we went to a comic book store, you know, and we would always go along the train tracks, and then you'd go by these incredible houses. And even as a kid, they stuck out mm-hmm. because they were just so magnificent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, to have that as a memory and a resource, a visual resource.
Let's talk about downtown and its current. Well, let's talk more about the beginnings of downtown and you were there at the beginning. How did it evolve and does it get a fair a reading when you think of the current downtown Tucson history?
Well, yeah, it's, I hope one day, I don't think it would be me, but I hope at some point somebody is able to tell the story of downtown, because much like Tempe, you know, people think overnight downtown can change. Well, downtown changed. By the time you've seen downtown changing, it's been going on for 15 to 20 years, right?
Yes.
And so I worked for the Tucson Arts District Partnership for a number of years, and so we had a lot of programs like Downtown Saturday Night and Thursday Art Walks and all kinds of artists in residence programs. And, actually a publication, Art 30, that we ran. And so I think about some of the folks in the early 80s when the first Arts District plan was put out by the city. And they had a great, you know, 2-inch thick plan, but no money to implement it. And so the Arts District Partnership is the only thing that really came out of that. But we had the Arts District Bookstore. We had, you know, Cafe Magritte. We had all these iconic, Berta Wright. I mean, we had iconic, really, retail and restaurants. And, you know, a lot of people forget that, and they think that, you know, before Rio Nuevo sort of got reinvented, that everything was boarded up, and that really isn't the case. So I hope someone will tell that story. Yes, the streetcar was a milestone, but without the Fox and the Rialto being open, there wouldn't have been as much need for the streetcar. So, you know, I think we're in a really great place, and when I see things like, you know, the DoubleTree opening by the TCC, and I see some of the other hotels, and I see, you know, frankly, even us getting the Carmen, having another performing arts venue, I think that just, we finally sort of, sort of come into our own, and I hope that we can retain some of the elements of history that we have. I'm a little bit of a scholar on the Phoenix Fox Theater, and you know that one was torn down in 75. It was a parking lot for a long time, and now it's a mixed use with a grocery store and some housing. And I mean, this was the epitome of Art Deco, and Phoenix tore it down. And
wow.
Phoenix tore down a lot of their downtown,
yeah.
and we
yeah.
have a very small downtown. So.
Yeah.
I hope we can keep some of the one-story gems that we have, mm-hmm. like the Johnny Gibson Market and some mm-hmm. of those things, mm-hmm. because that's what makes us what we are.
Well, you do the restoration work. You said 18 states you've worked in. How many Fox Theaters are still around?
You know, there's a couple hundred around. A lot of them have been transitioned into other things. I mean, I've been into ones that have turned into flea markets in California. I've been into ones that are churches. The Fox in Tucson was number 501 when it opened.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, that's because William Fox not only built theaters, but he bought theaters. So he bought the Fox. He bought the West Coast Theaters chain, which gave him like 30 more theaters. He bought the Intermountain chain, which gave him a bunch of theaters in Nebraska and in Colorado and things. So he was amassing an empire until the crash happened and he over-leveraged himself, which is another book I want to write about that whole story. Fascinating. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, that's one of the things about theaters. Almost every town in America had a handful of them, right? I mean, we had probably five downtown in Tucson.
Mm.
And now there's, you know, Rialto and the Fox. And you know, Carmen predates both of those. And the Temple of Music and Art is a different beast. But, I mean, there was the Plaza. There was a lot of other theaters downtown that are
all gone. Right, Herb Stratford, good luck with the Carmen. And you've got a lot of work ahead of you. But we're glad you are on it for us.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good catching up with you, sir. Circling back with you, Herb Stratford. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Judy Rich is waiting in the wings on our live line. Lots to talk with Judy about. She's the CEO over at TMC Healthcare. Buckmaster Midweek Edition continues right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Start your planning now for Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Be a great road trip, just a three-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, 74 degrees over there at midday, and the Gila National Wilderness looking so good. southwestnewmexico.org for things to do, and there are a lot of them, and some great places to stay.
It's time for the CEO interview series on The Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $30 billion, with 182 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 53,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
All right, joining us on our live line, Judy Rich. Judy is chair of Sun Corridor, Inc., president and CEO of TMC Healthcare. And before we talk with Judy about the post-COVID economy recovery, known as Sun Corridor's Pivot Playbook, which is being focused on five areas: company recruitment, talent and acquisition and retention, workforce development and training, shovel-ready real estate and tourism. Judy, how are you today?
I'm well, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Thank you for asking. Before we talk about the Pivot Playbook, give us an update on your situation with COVID over at TMC.
We are back in it again. As you know, we have seen pretty significant changes in the last several weeks, with many, many people coming to the hospital again who are COVID positive. I think the interesting facts are that 99% of the people who are in the hospital are not vaccinated. We have several in the intensive care unit, and we have many patients who are not sick enough to be in the ICU but must be in the hospital for support to get through their illness. We have seen certainly a different demographic this time. We're not seeing very many people who are over the age of 55, but we are seeing people who are much younger, including a fair number of children who are coming to the emergency department, some of them needing some brief support in the hospital. Most of them are able to go home. They're not severely ill like we've seen with the adults.
What about the COVID booster shot that was announced today? Looks like maybe mid-September for folks that have had both of the shots. Will TMC be a player in that, Judy Rich?
Well, actually, Bill, we just had a conversation about that yesterday, because we believe that our responsibility is to step up if needed. The good news is that there are so many places to get the vaccination now that the need for us to do that on our campus as we did before is much less. So we have an understanding with the Pima County Health Department that they will help define what their needs are after they've been able to look out for a lot of the mobile vans that are doing vaccinations, and a lot of the local pharmacies and doctor's offices. So we will be here as needed.
Let me quickly ask you before we get into the pivot playbook, one more COVID question about vaccinations. I know that TMC has decided that all employees will have to be vaccinated. What's your take on why we've had such vaccine hesitancy, Judy Rich?
Clearly, it is not a lack of information. We spent many, many weeks earlier this year focusing on getting information to our staff, making sure that they understood the research, the creation of an mRNA vaccine, how it does not affect our DNA. A lot of education, a lot of physicians here were involved in that education. Weekly town halls with lots and lots of communication through the internet. And so it's not a lack of education. At this point, it's truly a decision that people have made to not get vaccinated. And the decisions are, in a very small part, some religious organizations. But that's a very insignificant number when you compare it to the total number of our staff here. And we do still have some people who believe that until the vaccine is off of emergency use authorization, that they are unwilling to get the vaccine. So the decision we made here last week was that our September 1st deadline will only be affected by the date that the EUA is removed. And so we expect that by Labor Day, from all the sources we have, it will be approved by the FDA, and at that point our staff will have 7 days to get their COVID vaccine after it is approved. So by the middle of September, we think that we're going to have a fully vaccinated staff.
What a year you've had, Judy Rich. Not only leading one of the region's largest hospitals, but also coinciding with chair of SunCorridor Inc. and the rollout of the Pivot Playbook. Do you like the whole Pivot Playbook idea?
I love it. I think that the fact that we brought together 5 focused areas, put people in charge of each of those 5 areas, and then let them pull their teams together, has resulted in a very actionable plan.
Talk a little bit about the past year and what has been going on with your priorities at SunCorridor.
Well, clearly we are in the same position that every business is in, which is it feels very difficult to communicate. We can't get on a plane and talk to people about how great it is to bring their business to Tucson. So we have had to change the way that we talk about the opportunities here in our region. So the way we've done that is we've really used the internet, a lot of Zoom, spoken to the people that do this work, the site selectors, and really bragged about the high-paying targeted industries that we have here: aerospace and defense, logistics, bioscience, mining and solar technologies. And those strengths are real assets that are not difficult to sell, even if you can't get on a plane and sell them in person. So we have really focused on those areas, and I think we've been pretty nimble. The staff has been able to adapt since the normal sales channels didn't exist and have done a lot through other means.
Quality health care, Judy Rich, how important is it for the site selectors? We've been talking about this group of people in our 4 previous sessions, talking about the Pivot Playbook, about these site selectors. These are people that really decide, in many cases, if a company is going to relocate to another location. Where does quality health care fit in?
It's in the top 5 things that they're looking for. Education is always there. Talent is always there. Business readiness is there, but certainly quality health care is fundamental as buying a house and putting your child in a good school.
Judy, we're going to pause right here. I want to talk to you some more about the economy through primary job development as we continue with our Sun Corridor, Inc. interview series. We've done five of these interviews looking at this pivot playbook and how it's going to be so important moving forward in the post-pandemic era. It's the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This afternoon we are concluding our five-part series on Sun Corridor Inc.'s post-COVID recovery plan. The economic recovery plan is known as the Pivot Playbook, which focuses on five areas: company recruitment, talent acquisition and retention, workforce development and training, shovel ready, and real estate and tourism. With us on the live line is Judy Rich. Judy is chair of the Sun Corridor Inc. board, and she's president and CEO of TMC Healthcare. When it comes to recruitment, Judy Rich, in your area of healthcare, since COVID became a reality, healthcare workers have become so important. Not that they weren't before, but there was new emphasis on, I think, people realizing how important they are. Are you having difficulty recruiting enough healthcare workers in our community?
Bill, it's my number one concern right now. I have never in my entire career had the kind of challenges recruiting clinical staff to the hospital business that we are having now. As a matter of fact, just this morning I was over at our HR department meeting with our recruiters, listening to the fact that they're getting into the hospital at 5 a.m. and they're leaving when it's dark because they're calling all over the country for leads for people who are interested in relocating. And it's mostly the nurses, the patient care techs, and the clinical staff that have left the business. They have left our profession throughout this last couple of years, and they are not coming back in large numbers. So we have great deficits to fill.
They are leaving because of the stress of the COVID?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are burned out, and that's a word that we've used for many, many years, but I've never seen it the way I see it today. They are somewhat angry, and it's become more difficult now to know that we don't have to be where we are, that with a vaccine, we don't need to go through another surge, but yet here we are.
Do you have help for the people who feel they're burned out and they still want to stay in the career? This is a difficult time for them. Is there some help for these people?
We sure do. We have contracted with outside mental health counselors. We have done all of the kinds of programs inside the building that we can think of. We feed our staff. We make rounds to encourage them. We've had things like puzzle nights and rock climbing and anything that we believe might get them out of the pain and the burnout that they're feeling here at the hospital. And we are trying to support them in any way possible. But mostly it's counseling, it's talking. And yet, Bill, what's difficult is when their shift is done, they just want to go home.
Mm. Boy, our heart goes out to all of them, all of those frontline healthcare workers. What a very difficult time. And, you know, it's been a very difficult time, too, for economic development, as you well know, Judy. And I think Tucson has done pretty darn well when you look at the national media coverage. A lot of major news stories have been appearing about Tucson. That's helped, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. We were thrilled with the media coverage that we have had mostly last year, but some this year as well, including the New York Times and Fast Company. We've had 15 major news stories about Tucson as a wonderful place to move, a wonderful place to live, wide open spaces, and lots of opportunities here.
So we've had to develop some very creative approaches to selling our area, haven't we?
That's for sure. As I said before, virtual. So our business development team really had to generate projects in the midst of the pandemic in a different way. A lot of interesting information that they needed to share in a new way and really sell the benefits of this beautiful place that we live without having the opportunity to invite people to come here. We've had a couple of very significant new businesses who've made decisions to move their entire company here, never having stepped foot off the plane to our beautiful Tucson, Sonoran Desert. And that is the work of the people at Sun Corridor who have been able to use the skills that they have and really make the case for why economically this is where you want your business to be.
I heard that these 15 companies are have an economic impact of $1.5 billion with a B over the next 5 years. Why are they coming kind of sight unseen? Is it because not only it's a beautiful area, but folks can work now in different places? They don't necessarily have to be in New York, San Francisco, or L.A.
That's right. And, you know, our cost of living here, even though those of us who have been here a while can see the housing prices go up, relatively speaking, is still a not expensive place to live. So you can leave those higher priced markets that you mentioned. You can work out of your home here, and you can have the beautiful surroundings that really give somebody who wants to move here a lot of opportunities. We have a lot of diversity. We have great talent coming out of our community college and out of the University of Arizona. We have a lot of tech and a lot of science here. And we also have real estate. We need more. We need more shovel-ready. That's one of our key focus areas. But we do have land, and it does not feel like New York or L.A.
Let me ask you about the pivot playbook and people that have been involved with that, decision makers in our community coming together. You've been in town a long time, and so have I. Have you ever seen anything like people pulling together like they did during this COVID period?
I have not, and I think that the fact that Joe Snell put us together early on the Zoom, of course, and said, we have a job to do, let's figure out how to get it done, really was an example of people who deeply are invested in this community coming together and saying, how can I help? What is it that I can do? And they showed up, and they came through for us. They did the work. They got their information from their teams in on time. And then, of course, our team at Sun Corridor was able to collate all of that information, put it together, and we are continuing to see increased momentum and increased outcomes as a result of this very detailed plan that we've put together in the Pivot Playbook.
Before we let you go, Judy, as I said, you've been in town a long time. What do you think what's the strongest selling point for our area?
Well, I think it's our people. I have always believed that the people who live in this region are special. We have diversity, we have talent, we have education, and you see all of those resources in our people. We are welcoming and friendly. We are smart. We are very reasonable people politically. I think we have both views are represented in our region. And so you put that all together, and we have incredible people that make incredible things happen.
Judy Rich, before we let you go, I want to bring it back to healthcare. And I know many people worry if they have an emergency, if they have a heart issue, if they have something that really they need to be seen by a physician. I think sometimes they may be worried about the COVID, but what is your advice to these people that need to come in?
Well, it's very different than it was in March of 2020, Bill. That was the scary time because we didn't know what we didn't know. What we know now is we know how to pull people into the emergency department, into the hospital. We know how to keep them safe. We have learned how to use our personal protective equipment, how to manage the airflow in the hospital, within the rooms and in the ED. And it's a very different environment than it was before. So it's safe. It can be busy, but it's safe. And anyone with those kinds of things that you mentioned should certainly never hesitate to seek care at a hospital.
All right, Judy Rich, I don't envy you because you've got a very big job ahead of you as we plow through this recent surge with COVID-19. Are there any bright spots? Are the cases seem to be leveling off, or are we kind of in the middle of it?
It's still too soon to say it's getting better, Bill, but the best thing that I can say is what I said sooner, which is people are not as sick. And we are not seeing the kind of death that we saw before. So even though it's tough to be here, it's tough to be in the hospital getting care, our outcomes are better, and we're thankful for that.
Judy Rich, always a pleasure. Good catching up with you. Judy Rich from TMC and the chair of Sun Corridor, Inc. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Judy Rich with us, and people can find out more about Sun Corridor by going to their website, suncorridorinc.com. Buckmaster.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.